Hello, this is Deborah Cohen, and welcome to A Story and a Song. And today's topic is a continuing topic from an article that I found in a magazine that I never read, but happened to find AARP with Ringo Starr on the cover. And of course, if one of the Beatles is on the cover of any magazine, I still want to look at the Beatles. Oh dear. So this article is by, I'm trying to find the name of it, John Colapinto. He is a great writer. And this is part three, entitled Let Me Call You Sweetheart. And it's actually about an amazing music therapist. So if this interests you, or an alternative healing for dementias, then try to set aside the next 30-ish minutes in a quiet place where you can take notes and enjoy this discussion. And I will be right back after this brief message. Hello, this is Deborah Cohen. I'm so glad you found me online. My music is a variety of genres, starting in the 80s as a new wave singer-songwriter, opening up for Joan Jett in Kenmore Square, Boston. From there, I wandered into different genres, exploring my faith, praise music, interfaith music, and pop, rock, indie music, as well as music for TV, film, and movies. So there's all kinds of things to learn listening to my podcast, A Story and a Song. And I hope that you will enjoy the journey with me and that you will share what you hear. Thank you for listening. And again, this is Deborah Cohen, and I'm glad you're here, whether you're on twitch.tv/Deborah Cohen Music or on Instagram Live. So I thank you for listening. This is going to be me sharing an article that was written by somebody else, John Colapinto. And a lot of us, as we get older, of which I am a baby boomer, maybe you are too, want to know how music can help you if you're suffering with one of the dementias, with Alzheimer's, memory issues. Okay, so let's just jump right into it, and I appreciate your listening. Conchetta Tomeno was 24 years old in 1979 when she graduated with a master's degree in music therapy from New York University. She would go on to become a pioneer in the use of music to treat dementia. And today, at 69 years old, and by the way, I am also 69, so we can still be groovy as older women and men, of course, too. You can be groovy, too. She wrote a book, apparently, or is the legend in the field, The Dedicated of Neurologist Oliver Sacks, 2007 book, Musicophilia. I hope I made sense because I started talking. I try to just read instead of interjecting, but you know how it is when you get your own podcast, right? So Musicophilia, the past president of the American Association for Music Therapy and the executive director and co-founder of the Institute for Music and Neurologic Function, housed at Wartburg, a senior living facility in Mount Vernon, New York, where John recently visited her. And I just want you to take a moment here and take a breath like I'm going to. And this broadcasting on Instagram is a new thing for me, and I have yet to find the chat. I have net, my husband's writing to me in Twitch. I have yet to find the Instagram chat. So I'm sorry if I don't answer your chats in Instagram. It's just I don't see them. Okay. Cheerful and soft-spoken, with a round face and curly brown hair, the Bronx-born Tomeno was, she says, a big science kid. Were you? Okay. But she also played accordion and blended her love of music and science when she decided to switch from pre-med to a degree in music therapy. Tomaino was still a student intern in 1978, fulfilling the 1,200 hours of clinical field work necessary for her master's when, at a nursing facility in Brooklyn, she encountered her first dementia patients. And maybe you know somebody with dementia, or maybe you've been diagnosed with dementia. I had to watch my dear Nana with dementia. It was not a pretty sight. Sometimes she would know me, and other times she wouldn't know who I was. So, a population not then generally considered to be candidates for music therapy. As was common in that era, the dementia patients were severely neglected. Yes, they were. Heavily drugged, hands encased in mittens to prevent their clawing at themselves, outfitted with nasal gastric tubes for feeding, and left to scream and wail in confusion and anxiety on an upper floor of the facility. And I hope none of you have had to experience that as far as watching somebody with dementia suffer in a nursing home. Nobody went up there, Tomaino recalls. It was this horrible, horrible place. And I actually am seeing a chat stream on Instagram, and I've lost my chat on Twitch. So, hey, my GRKMM, it says hello. Thank you for watching, and let me know where you're watching from. Welcome. We're talking about dementia today and how music therapy can help. And we're comparing the cacophony of horror when a nurse told this woman, the music therapist, "Oh, it's so sweet of you to come, but they don't have any brains left, so don't expect too much." Can you imagine a nurse saying that about a dementia patient? But this is the way it was looked at back in, let's say, 30, 40 years ago when I had to witness my dear grandma suffering with dementia. But Tomaino, this music therapist, refused to believe it. She lifted her accordion and started playing the opening chords of "Let Me Call You Sweetheart. I'm in love with you." Oh, and isn't that great? A hit tune published in 1910 that became even more popular when Bing Crosby recorded it twice during the Depression and World War II. She began to sing, "Let me call you sweetheart. I'm in love with you." The noise stopped, she remembers. People opened their eyes. Half of them started singing along. Let me hear you whisper that you love me too." Okay, my GRKMM's been following for a long. Thank you. I appreciate that. And the nurse looked at Tomaino in shock. She said, "What just happened? Here we got these dementia people. All of a sudden, they're singing, 'Let me call you sweetheart.' Can you believe it?" So the message so far is, don't believe everything people tell you when it comes to illness. It's not the end of the road. 2 years later, Tomaino, the music therapist, was hired as the music therapist at Beth Abraham Hospital in the Bronx, where Oliver Sacks was a neurologist. He was already famous for his 1973 book, Awakenings, which chronicled his use of experimental drug L-DOPA to awaken patients who had been frozen for decades in a coma-like state from a virus called encephalitis lethargica. Tomaino saw an obvious parallel with dementia patients. So I said to Oliver, "Did you ever see this?" And he said, "No, show me." Sachs was floored. He said, "We got to look at this and figure out what the heck is going on." Welcome, Leora25. Through the 1980s, with Sack's input, music therapist Tomaino studied the positive effects of music on the mood and memory of Beth Abraham's dementia patients. And we're talking about dementia here. The work drew increasing attention after the 1990 release of the movie ad of Awakenings, and reporters descended on Beth Abraham in search of new medical miracles. Do you believe in miracles? I believe there are still miracles. In a joint interview with the New York Times in 91, Sacks called music a neurologic necessity. And Tomaino said that music could locate the lost personalities of dementia on a segment of the TV show 48 Hours when she played a swing tune on her accordion for a near-catatonic dementia patient who jumped out of his wheelchair. Yes, thank you, my GRKM. It started dancing. He had been in a dance act with his brother in his youth. The staff got really excited, Tomaino says, so the physician assistant would sing to him. The orderly would sing to him as they walked. He eventually went back home to his daughter. Don't you think this is great? Well, my GRKMM, he wants to meet me. Here I am, right here, in this podcast. So nice to meet you, too. All right. We're talking about something that's very touching and close to home because of my Nana, who suffered with dementia and was left just to wait for her ticket home to heaven. But there's an alternative, and it's called music. And I am a musician. I hope that you know that. And this is why this excites me, because I can use my music as healing. And this is true. When I do sing publicly, people will tell me they cried when I was singing, not because it was ear-wrenching, but because it made them feel better, like my GRKMM is telling me. It heals within. Music is healing. So let's continue. 2 years after that, Tomaino convened the first ever conference on clinical applications of music in neurological rehab. The scientific and medical community was still on the fence about music and the brain. You know, some people are really slow to learn, even scientists. And we hope to push the dialogue. We had over 125 people show up, some from outside the country, and we needed to send some away. This gave Tomaino the momentum and the funding to help launch in 1995 Institute for Music and Neurologic Function at Beth Abraham. Since then, she has been an explosion. There has been an explosion of interest in the field of music and memory. So if you listen to my music, maybe it will trigger memory and help bring back the parts of your brain that you thought were dormant or lost. And there's still hope for you pot smokers that think that you fried your brains when you were a hippie in the 60s like I did. But guess what? You can build new neural pathways in your brain. And when you smoke pot, the scientists say that you only, you only use 10% of your brain and 90% is on reserve, says Einstein. So don't be lazy and think your brain dead. Listen to your favorite music and awaken yourself and look into this article. You shouldn't be this beautiful. What? Yes, music makes us beautiful. It awakens the soul inside of you. So let's continue. New neurals are good, says Marty. Whoa! Hey, I got Twitch on my phone. This is so cool. Okay. Mysteries remain about how memories are created, stored, and retrieved in the brain, and how music acts to revive dementia patients. But answers have begun to emerge thanks to advanced brain scanning technology that did not exist when Tomaino and Sacks did their early research. It did not exist when my Nana was suffering from dementia, and it did not exist when I was a hippie in the 60s. Oh, specifically, it's an fMRI. This technology uses a strong magnetic field and radio waves to track blood flow throughout the brain, showing what areas are active during physical tasks like moving the fingers, which lights up areas of the motor cortex in an fMRI scan, or during cognitive tasks, including decision-making and memory. All memories, regardless of how vivid and indelible they are electric and chemical signals in our brains that travel through a network of neurons. Decades ago, it was believed that there was a dedicated memory module of the brain where the past was stored. But the fMRI revealed that many areas of the brain are involved with memory, from the brain stem, seat of automatic tasks like breathing and blinking, and the emotion centers, including the amygdala, with your fight or flight reflexes, to the seeing and hearing centers, from the executive areas of the brain where thinking and decision making are made, to the part where long-term memories are processed. None of this should be specifically surprising when you consider the layered richness of memory, the distant sights, the sounds. Maybe you have a favorite song from the Beatles that triggers a happy memory. The smells, feelings, and conversations that can be evoked by something as ephemeral as a scent on the breeze. Oh, what's that smell? Memories begin with our five senses through our experience of the world. The memory that allows you to recognize your mother was first encoded when you were a baby, from seeing, hearing, and smelling her, sensory stimuli that resulted in the firing of neurons that wrote the memory, Mom. Through repeated exposure to your mother, that memory grew, and like Marty mentioned, new neural pathways grew increasingly durable owing to actual physical changes in your brain. When specific groups of neurons are repeatedly activated, they strengthen the synaptic connections between them. Neurons that fire together wire together. I like that. I might use that as a t-shirt. I make t-shirts, by the way, so as a side note and a plug for me, there are two places where I sell my t-shirts, you know, because musicians need income too. So you can go to Amazon.com and look for the artist, Deborah Cohen Music. Just type it up in the Amazon search and you'll find my artist profile page. Scroll down beyond the music, but of course buy some music too. And look at my merch at the bottom. And also on redbubble.com. It's a little harder to find me there, but if you do a Deborah Cohen Music search, hopefully you'll be able to get to my store, and that is where I have a lot of merch that you can buy to support the artists like me. Okay, so where were we? Welcome, Gilvan Rodriguez. Okay, so we're talking about dementia, in case you're just joining us, and how music helps the brain. None of this should be especially surprising when you consider the layered richness of memory. When specific groups of neurons are repeatedly activated, we develop neural pathways. It's sort of like when you drive in a mud driveway, and you know, like the first time you drive with your car, you see the tire tracks, and the more you drive on that dirt road, you get a groove happening. Or if you're a hippie like me, remember those 45 records? And when you first play them, the needle goes around the record, the 45 or the 78 or the 33. And then after a while, if you play it to death like I did with the Beatles, all of a sudden you get real deep grooves in the record. Yeah, those are neural pathways. That's what you can think of. Yeah, new neurons are good, says Marty. Thank you. Okay, so But even the memory of your mother can be lost if something chokes off the electrochemical signals that flash along those neurons. This is what is thought to occur with Alzheimer's disease. Certain brain waste products, so-called tau tangles and amyloid plaques, as well as other factors, the theory goes, can disrupt and destroy neurons and their connections, especially in the area of brain associated with memory, even as strong as the memory of your mom. Alzheimer's is progressive. As more brain cells die, more of the past vanishes. This is a horrible way to go. So I'm telling you that music therapy can alter your horrible fate in the dementias. Of all the attempts to hold on to memories in the face of this loss through drugs, through diet, through exercise, listen to this. Music has proved to be among the most successful treatments. Again, fMRI offers a possible explanation for why listening to music, fMRI reveals, is like memory itself, a full brain workout, y'all. So when you listen to my music, Deborah Cohen music, you're getting a full brain workout. How about that? Oh, I like this. A wide distribution of brain structures light up, including the brain stem. Rousing classical music makes the pulse and blood pressure rise. Soothing lullabies make them drop. It also wakes up the brain structure of your motor center. These are the source of the irrepressible urges to tap the toe or bob the head in time with music. So I must have a good motor center, because even when I'm singing, I'm moving. And, you know, like I used to sing in a choir, but I get tired of people telling me that were singing next to me, "Would you stop moving like that? You're distracting me." I'm like, get a grip on yourself, will you? Seriously, movement. Motion is lotion, people. I also teach yoga, and it's important as you get older to keep moving. Otherwise, you're going to turn into a stone. No, not literally, okay? If you have a slant six engine, and you know, when I did powder puff mechanics in high school, I used to love working on my slant six. It was really easy to get to, not today like with all the computers and stuff. But you know, I just get in there, and anyway, that has nothing to do with, okay. Language centers, they light up to a song with lyrics we remember. Language. How many languages do you speak? Let's see now. I'll tell you how many I speak. I learned Finnish from my great mumu in Finland. Silime. Let's see, how do we go? Silime, silime, nena sua, gorvu duki, gesa jelga napa. Okay, there's one. Pig Latin. Ude uye, understand hey ime. Latin. Let's see. Dominus ubiscus et cum spirit tutuo. Okay, French. Je parle français. Et toi? And let's see. Arabic. En etikelem arabi shwaya shwaya. And Hebrew. I get Hebrew. I'm still trying to learn Hebrew and Arabic. Sometimes they get mixed up because a lot of the words are the same. How about Bo Mashiach? That's a good one. Okay, so there we go. The auditory cortex. This is where the music's pitches and tones are processed. And again, I'm very sensitive to people that sing off key, so I must have a really good auditory cortex. Emotion centers. Here we go. Here, feelings of yearning, joy, exultation, sadness, fear, or loss of touched off by changes in the music's tempo, pitch, volume. In the executive centers, thoughts and memories connected to the music, where they are activated when you listen to music. The visual systems. Think of how a dark and stormy passage of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. Is there another page? Yes. Okay. Can call up images in your mind of black and turbulent skies. Disney did this for us with, quote, Night on Bald Mountain, end quote, in Fantasia. One more paragraph and we're done. So hang in there. This full brain workout, listening to my music or Beethoven or whoever you listen to, hints at why melodies and lyrics, particularly those from songs that have personal significance to us, like Elvis Costello's Pump It Up, you know, that's my dance floor favorite. I do remember, have such a peculiar sticking power in our memories. fMRI scans reveal that such autobiographically salient music is written into many parts of the brain, the movement center, for instance, not touched by Alzheimer's until the very last stages of its disease. So, in a nutshell, with all this talking I've been doing, music, by stimulating these preserved parts of the memory network, seems to reach into those areas of the neocortex, the brain's wrinkled outer layer, to find those neurons that have not yet died off, thus triggering memories thought to be lost forever. Can I get a yay from you all? Write it in the chat if you're still listening. Yay! All is not lost. All is not lost. I am not brain dead. All is not lost. Okay, let's get a yay. So I want to thank you for joining me. And Marty, yeah, you're still there. I love it. And thank you for all of you listening on Instagram. I hope that you will share this with somebody that might be suffering from the dementias. And if you did not know that I'm a musician, I'm going to share in the closing some of my music so that you can find your favorite song at DeborahCohenMusic.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again every Sunday at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time right here on Instagram Live and Twitch.tv. Thank you so much.
We are the people of the human race. Look at your brother now living in disgrace. Do you give him a hand from where on earth you stand? We all have needs in this disunity. People point fingers at their enemies, thinking of hurting one birth from the same seed. People,
people.